यासुरनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बर चारे जमुना तीरा बर चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जनबल गिरीवर धारी जय जय गोपी जनबल गिरीवर धारी जय यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा भरचारी जामुना तीरा बन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव राधा माधव जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव राधा माधव जय राधा माधव जय ओम विश्वनाथ परमहंस परिव्राज श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदांत भक्तिदंत स्वामी Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON founder charge Srila Prabhupada ki jai, save the whole world Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai, Nama charge Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Brahmsi Gohochi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Hitananda, Sri Advaita Garada, Sri Basari Gorbhakta Vinda ki jai, Sri Siddhartha Madhava Gopinath, Shyamakunda Radhakunda, Giri Govardhana ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Sri Mathura Dham ki jai, नवदीप समय पदाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी राम की गंगा माई मुन माई की तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय संग वैर भक्त वृंद की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय श्रीमद भगवताम की जय जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड भक्तस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग ग्लोरियस टू स्वरूप Hare Krishna, this morning we are reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, entitled Prayers by the Demigods. Text number 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। स्वायं समुत्तीर्य सुरस्तरं ज्युमं बभाणवं हिमं अदभ्र सहूर्दः परहं भोरोः नवम् अत्र ते निधाय यतः सद् अनुग्रहो भवान् स्वयं समुत्तीर्य सुरस्तरं ध्युयम् बाभाणवं भीमं अरभ्रसौरथा भवत्परहं भूरोरानवमत्र ते निधाय यत्ता शरणोग्रहो भवन् स्वयं समुत्तीर्य सुरस्तरं ध्युयम् पावानवं भीमाम् अभद्रसौरथा भवत्परं भूरोः निवामत्र ते निधाय यत्तस्सारनुग्रहो भवन् स्वयं समुत्तीर्य सुरस्ततं ध्युयम् पावानवं भीमाम् अभद्रसूरधा भवत्पदं भूर्भुवः नवमत्र ते निधाय यतः शरणोग्रह भवम् सुरातरं दुयम् अभानभं भीमामदा प्रसोदधा आत्मो पुरानवामतत्ते निधाय यथा सरणो भवम् परं बुधो मत यथा सदनुग्रहो भवम् मारि समुत्तीर्यसधुस्तरं जुह्यं आभानभं भीमाम् अभद्रसूरधा भवत्परं भूर्होरानवामथ चे निधाय यत् शरणोग्रह भवम् स्वयं समुत्तीर्य सुरस्तरं ध्युयम् अभानवं भीमाम् अभद्रसूरधा भवत्परं भूर्होरानवामथ चे Nikaya yata saranugraha bhava. Word for word, Swayam, personally, Samutirya, perfectly crossing, Sududastaram, which is very difficult to cross, Duman, O Lord, who appear exactly like the sun, illuminating the darkness of this world of ignorance. Bhava Arnavaham, the ocean of nations. Bhimam, which is extremely fierce. Rabha, Suridha, devotees who are incessantly friendly to the fallen souls. Bhavatpada Ambhurruha, your lotus feet. Navam, the boat for crossing. Atra, in this world. Te, they, the Vaishnavas. Nidhaya, leaving behind. Yataha, onto the ultimate destination, Vaikuntha. Sad Anugraha, who are always kind and merciful to the devotees. Pavan, you, translation. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Banchakalpaturu. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Please repeat, O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you're always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore, you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpatru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Prabhupada Bhaisa Vange Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srivopad Ki Jai. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmati Kona Bhagavan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasada Bhai, Bhakti Lata Bij. That's Madhya Lila 19.151. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering through out the universe. A fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya, who trains a devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to the references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, publish such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. By the mercy of the Lord, in our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western world, Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nations by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed by the followers, will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishphala mataha paramapuranam. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya, otherwise one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottama Das Thakur therefore sings, Tadare charane sevi bhakta sannibhas janami janami hoi eya bilas. One must worship the lotus feet of the acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. End of purport. Om Ajnanandarandasya Jnanandarandasrakaya Chakshurmi Sandhikasma Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pisaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Neya Vishesha Shanyavari Asyachate Sartharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I guess in translation again. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpatru. When acharyas completely seek shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. The same verses, same content of the verses yesterday's one. This is yesterday's. O Lotus Eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as a boat by which to cross the ocean of Nityans, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans, great saints, sages and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easy as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. The same thing. Repeating again. Must be something very pertinent here, something special here to paraphrase the same thing two times. What it is, if the demigods are speaking to the Lord, they're praying to the Lord who is within the womb of Devaki in the prison house, and that all the demigods have appeared invisibly. Yeah, they know that the Lord is there, and they're offering their prayers, glorifying Him, but very broad prayers, explaining how He is the Supreme Lord, He is the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer, everything here. And here is talking about the mercy aspect of the Lord, that He wants to establish His the relationship with the living entities. Jiva Upainita Krishna Das. Originally we have a loving relationship with Krishna, because if we accept that Krishna, God, is eternal, and we accept that the living entities are also eternal, then there must be an eternal relationship. So what is that relationship? But now we've forgotten that relationship. The Lord hasn't forgotten, but we've forgotten. So He still loves us fully, but we're loving so many other things. We're so preoccupied with loving other things or other people, or trying to love other things and other people, that it's covered our relationship with Krishna. And also we're trying to avoid the problems in the material world which are constantly coming, the fierce, what is it called, the fierce ocean, material world is like that, the fierce ocean, and the storm, big waves are coming constantly, smash, 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 storm, it's like, material world is like that, eat, sleep, enjoy, defend, grow old, get sick, die, and all these, smash, 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 hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear. This is the material world. Expected every day. Every day they are coming, right? Every day we have to cater for these demands of eating, sleeping, defending. Fierce ocean. Like that. Krishna's not going to let us be comfortable. We left Krishna. He didn't leave us. He didn't want us to go. But we had an idea of something different. So this Krishna's put us here, right? What do you do when a naughty child at school, and they put him in the corner, right? If the child is making a nuisance in the class, disturbing the whole class, then the teacher says, sit in the corner, face the corner, out of trouble. Removes him from that. So that's quite peaceful. But because we have that mentality, Krishna takes us and he creates a playground of the material world and puts it in there. It's like you have a playpen for your baby. Because babies are always doing something, always hurting themselves and breaking things. So you have a little railing, fence, put them in a little fence box. And give them something to play with, soft, and they're happy, and they won't cause too much mischief. So that material world is like that. Krishna says, "Okay, you want something different. You're not behaving in the spiritual world properly. Go there, pop, Haribol. Here we are." But because we wanted something different from Krishna, from what's going on in the spiritual world. What's going on in the spiritual world is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Enjoyer. That's His business. And His business is enjoying with us. That's our business. So when we're there, we're enjoying with the Supreme. We're enjoying supremely. But there's rules there. You have to enjoy in certain ways. But it's another mentality comes in. You can't do that. Doesn't you can't have that mentality here. Sit, go away. Pop, drop you in the material world. And then takes away remembrance that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Enjoyer. Krishna is the Supreme Controller. So then we wake up and Haribol, what's going on here? There's no Supreme Enjoyer, there's no Supreme Controller, maybe I can take that place. So we're all trying to competing to take the place of God, of Krishna. This is Maya, material world, Maya. But so many difficulties, so many, all these difficulties are coming, these fierce waves are coming and smashing us. But Krishna's not going to let us forget us. He hasn't forgotten us, but he just wants us to get some samskaras so that when we go back again, we'll never ever think like that again. So he makes this place very entangling because he's taken away our remembrance of him and ourself, our relationship. So the path of liberation or freedom from this material world is to actually understand your relationship with Krishna. Because when that memory comes back, then you realize what a mistake you've made. This place is not so nice. We're trying to adjust and be happy in the ocean in the middle of a storm. It's not possible. So how do we revive our original consciousness? The material world is there just to keep us asking the question, because we can't get comfortable in the material world, right? For very long. You can't be comfortable, so the clashes are always coming. So eventually you're going to ask, because you're taking lots and lots of births, but every time you come to a human being, if you're a little civilized anyway, sometime or other you're going to ask, what's it all about? What's existence all about? What is the purpose? What are we here for? We're trying to adjust, but it's not very, we're not very successful. And we're a little better off than other people. We think this is perfection in life. We think we're perfectly happy. So Krishna comes now and again and shows us what the real life is, what real happiness is, what real fearlessness is. And also when he's not here, then he empowers his devotees, the acharyas, who actually follow the process according to the scripture, because Krishna has given he's given all the information. He's given us what the material world is, what the spiritual world is, and how to reconnect with the spiritual world again, how to become free from the material world. So they've done that, they've analyzed that, they've practiced it, and they've actually become free. So this is the, as Prabhupada said, the Acharya Sampradaya, those who have successfully re-established their relationship with Krishna. So this analogy here, and in the previous one, it's like a boat. You take a boat across the ocean, but this boat is very magical, because although it delivers one from this side of the material ocean, the boat stays there. The boat takes one across, and simultaneously the boat stays there. This is the analogy. There's a mystical, esoteric explanation of how this works. It means the boat, like the instructions of the Krishna and the spiritual master, the different instructions from the scripture. And there are lots of instructions because there's lots of different types of people who can't all hear the same thing. They're not ready to hear. How many people actually want to get out of the material world? How many people know there's another place to go? So there's lots of methods to gradually raise people up. Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, which gives some taste in the material world, some aspiration to improve the situation. But the devotees, the acharyas, they're not so much interested in that. But Bhagavatam is not interested in those types of tastes. He's more interested in the, we want the real life back. We want the tasty, eternal tasty, spiritual tasty relationships again with Krishna in the spiritual world. So they give the process. They practice. They do it, and then they leave the process for others. But they may adjust according to the circumstances, according to the time. We can't do now what we could in Satyayuga. Obviously, we only live for 100 years. They should live for 100,000 years. Much more, three times more intelligent than us. So every yuga, the intelligence goes down 1/4. So they live fantastically long lives. There was no problem. They didn't have to work. You didn't have to plow the fields to get food. You didn't get sick. Everyone was devotees. No taxes. Probably no need to go to school. No need to. Everyone was devoted. So why do you need an education? So there's different instructions for different times. This is the worst age. It's Kali Yuga. So then the acharyas, that means one who is successful, one who has crossed over. He gives the process by which one can cross over, because he's done it himself. So it's not, if the acharya wasn't there, when we think all these things were not possible, they may have been possible before, but they're not possible now. Well, if someone present day does it, then we can say, hey, it works. They've done it, why can't we do it? So therefore the guru is necessary. Acharya is necessary, one who teaches by example. So the great souls, just like the Prabhupada, he founded Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, they come down to the Madhyam platform. Although they're perfect souls, they come down to the Madhyam platform so they can relate to us on this level. coming down to the Madhyam platform, then they can understand the time and circumstances. They can understand the, you know, what's going on, what the difficulties are, what the pros and cons are in this particular time. Then they can adjust the rules a little bit. They can, they adjust that, what is just suitable for this time and circumstance. So Srila Prabhupada mentions here, he gives in our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that the we have the instructions, because the Lord appeared only 500 years ago, so there's a lot of pertinent instructions, because he appeared actually in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then acharyas, Srila Rupa Goswami, gives the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotion. So there's no need to the process of devotion. What is devotion? What is a devotee? What is the living entity? What is the Lord? What is the connection? And what is the material world? This is what they're explaining. Sambandhabhideya and Prayojana. What is the material world? Who is the Lord? And what is the connections between all of them? So given in the scriptures. That's all the scriptures are really talking about. That's the essence of the scriptures. So that we can understand what's going on, become self-realized, understand our actual position in the material world. Because if you don't know what your position is, then you don't know where to start from. So one must understand one's position. But then those other, the books, when one, after self-realization, then you get these books like Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, which follows in the footsteps of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's also for perfected, that's for self-realized persons, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not talking about the other lower tastes it mentions here. Dhamma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, although there's lots of stories about persons who are practicing those things, but only to emphasize that they weren't successful. They were only successful when they surrendered to Krishna. So this taste is, the real taste is your connection, your relationship with Krishna. So then they compile these bhakti shashas, or the, like this nectar devotion, etc., which is and all the other bhakti shashas, which is only dealing with, really, the bhakti, or at least that's from the platform of liberation, right? Six Goswamis scrutinized these, studied all the revealed scriptures, and accepted the sadharmas and sapaku. They taken out the spiritual, eternal aspects, that means the spiritual aspects of the all the scriptures, and compiled them into the bhakti shastras. And then, again, as time goes on, then Śrīla Prabhupāda appeared in the 20th century, and he's given his purports to these great scriptures, just suitable for this particular time and age, so that we can actually follow them. So what Śrīla Prabhupāda has done, he said it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service to Krishna, and become eligible to return back home to Godhead, because it's by service that we go back home to Godhead, because we're the eternal servants of Krishna. So one has to reawaken that consciousness and reawaken that service. The service itself is the process. It's also the path, and it is also the goal. When we go back to Godhead, then we can serve Krishna with in pure love. Here we can serve him, and we have to, but that activity of serving the Lord with a favorable consciousness, understanding that we're supposed to be serving the Lord, that is our purpose of our existence. And when we do that, and when there's affection from the Lord, which will come by constantly hearing about the Lord, his name, qualities, pastimes, different activities, and that we become more and more attracted to him. Krishna becomes more and more real in our life, and more we can appreciate what a wonderful person Krishna is. Then that service, that affection is added to the service. Love and affection is added to the service, and that's perfection. Then now you're real, you know. Now you're being what you're supposed to be. So then Krishna gives all facility. Then Krishna is revealed at that particular at that time. So, but to get to that point, Prabhupada said we're advised to refrain from false sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and chant 16 rounds a day, so that if you follow these rules and regulations, that will keep you insulated from the modes of passion and ignorance, which are not suitable for practicing Krishna consciousness. At least the mode of goodness is not harmful for practicing Krishna bhakti, Krishna consciousness. It's a good platform to. So therefore it's recommended to come to the mode of goodness. And the others, passion and ignorance, are not suitable, because there's too much noise, too many things going on in passion and ignorance. You have to be a little peaceful to practice spiritual life. So they're not recommended, although it's not impossible, but it's, you know, why not take an easy, why not make your life easier? So if you follow these regulative principles, then you'll be, materially, you'll be situated quite peacefully, free from the modes of passion and ignorance. And you live a you work with an honest job, then you don't have so much anxiety if your work, if you're doing an honest work. Everyone has to work. Then you don't. Then you're quite peaceful in life. And now you can chant 16 rounds. So you've got 2 hours a day. You're going to directly be in contact with Krishna through the medium of His holy name. So that's the minimum. That's enough. That's all these people can do in Kali Yuga practically. So that's what he gives. So it's only like 2 hours a day. But of course, if one is serious, then there's a whole program. From the first thing in the morning, and you wake up in the morning, Hare Krishna. It creates your auspiciousness immediately. Right? Nighttime is a night is time for other living beings, such inauspicious living subtle entities also around at night. So you wake up in the morning, Hare Krishna. Make they all go run away. Then you begin your purification, right? You purify your body, take your bath, put on fresh cloth. Pay your obeisances to Guru, purify the false ego. Maom Vishnu Vidaya Krishna, they're recognizing you're a servant of the servant, not the master. Purifying the false ego. Purifying your body by bath, put on clean cloth, see the deity, Krishna, Radha Krishna, Haribo, Mangalati. Using all the senses in the service of the Lord. All the senses are getting purified at that time, becoming enlightened. You're becoming happy seeing the beautiful form of the Lord where the rest of the world is sleeping, having funny dreams or nothing at all. You're seeing the beautiful forms of the Lord and bumping and touching the devotees, so crowded. Weekend. I'm not going to the temple, it's too crowded. Too hot to crowd it there. You're supposed to touch the bodies of the devotees, that's one of the injunctions, nectar devotion. So here you can't avoid it, right? Especially in Bengal. In Vrindavan they barge you. At least they're a little more sober here. There's a little more of them. Anyway. So you see the devotees you're hearing, then we worship in the pure devotee Tulsi Devi, the Lord's associates. Then we chant in the Krishna's name, okay, is what we have to do. But all these other things are super helpful also, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Right, in association with devotees. When you go to Calcutta and you chant in the car, you know, it takes 3 hours and you don't finish 16 rounds, right? Not easy. Here. So there they... The adjustments that the acharya gives, if you're actually really serious about going back to Godhead, then all these things are very helpful. And then we worship the Guru, worship the acharya as good as God. Actually, that's the first thing we do in the morning. Samsara dava naradita loka, fierce ocean. Fierce material world is a fierce ocean. Shakshar Hari Tve Namasta Master Sasa Yasat Prashara Pagala Prashara. The acharya is not different from Krishna. By Krishna's mercy, it's only mercy that one gets the acharya. When one is samavadi, one is fortunate. One is something is aroused, someone is awakened by Krishna's mercy, then one desires to get serious about life, then Krishna sends a guru. He sends the acharya, sends the devotee before us. And then the devotee reveals who Krishna is. That's how it works. That's the relationship with the acharya and Krishna. So they're like one. Saksad Hari. Saksad, the same. The guru is not different from Krishna because he's just doing Krishna's work. He's not doing anything else. Krishna says, Savadhaman Parityajamami. In the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavama, what does Guru say? Bow down to Krishna, worship Krishna, surrender to Krishna. He's saying exactly the same thing, not another. So there's no difference in that respect. I mean, we worship that acharya. Krishna's very pleased. You're worshiping his pure devotee. Krishna doesn't give his mercy directly, generally. He gives his mercy by by giving the acharya. He's carrying the shakti. He's carrying the bhakti shakti. Krishna's give it to him. So when Krishna sees you worshiping him, Krishna's very happy. Very pleased with us. When Krishna's pleased with us, we don't have any problem. So this, like, Krishna did the acharya are working together. So the acharya is, the instructions of the acharya are like this boat, which can carry us across the ocean. But you've got to get in the boat, and you've got to stay in the boat, and you've got to qualify for the boat. Huh? That means you've got to be actually want to actually get out of the material world, and actually, you know, want to go back to Godhead. Wanting to go back to Godhead is better than wanting to get out of the material world, because, you know, wanting to get out of the material world is a self-interested thing. You know, I get out of trouble. I want to go, want to get out of trouble, out of the material world, to get to that peaceful place. So it's still self-interested. But if you actually, of course, wanting to go back to God is so you can live happily ever after, that's also self-interest. But by following the process, something magical happens. It's a mystical process. Bhakti, sarani bhakti, vaidhi sarana bhakti. Mystical process. What happens is that self-interest gradually disappears. Because we're purifying the false ego, is it? So many times. So everything gets, senses are purified, mind is purified, intelligence is purified, ego is purified. So that self-interest gradually gets purified. And then we can appreciate Krishna as he is, because we're hearing about Krishna, part of our process. And then attraction begins to awaken. It means the covering, the attraction's already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The love of Krishna is already there. He's loving us, but our love is covered. So this process, we're using bhakti as a process, what that does, it uncovers, it cleanses the thing. And then we realize bhakti is the actual goal. It's not a practice, it's the actual real life. What do you do in the spiritual world? Huh? There's no yoga, there's no gyan, there's no all those things. It's just service to Krishna, love of Krishna, bhakti. So then that's the real thing, but until we have actually attraction for Krishna, then we think it's a process. We use it as a process. how to get out of trouble, how to enjoy eternally. These are the two desires. You can't stop those desires. So we're going to Krishna. Krishna says four kinds of pious people, they come to me. Best is a jnani, but still none of them are devotees. But here we're given, for the bhakti shastras, Bhagavatam is given us devotion, is presenting devotion above all others. So if one understands what the goal is, devotion to Krishna, at least we understand what it is, then we know what we're working for. Huh? It's devotion that we want. What can we offer to Krishna? Everything belongs to him. But then when that devotion is there, then Krishna reciprocates. Then you've got happiness and you've got shelter when that happens. So then you don't look for it. You don't want it anymore. So your desires have gone. Those two self-interested desires have gone. Those two desires. The desire for happiness, the desire for peace or security, they've gone when your relationship is established. So now your devotion is not mixed, because you've attained, you don't need it, you've got it with Krishna. So that's what happens. It means the subtle false ego, the subtle body gradually dissolves by the practice of bhakti. And then the real ego, then you can understand what the real ego is. So all this is Krishna's arrangement to get us back. So between him and the acharya, they're given all this facility, making this facility, coming down, adjusting it, refining it, and giving it just according to the time and circumstance. So this is what we have, the best we have now. This practice that is given to us by Swami Gaisesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada coming in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis. That is the best, most potent thing if you actually want to go to Golok Vrindavan, because there's other processes that take you to different parts of the spiritual world, but if one actually wants to go to Golok, then this is the tailor-made process for going back to Vrindavan. We can't improve on this. One just has to take it seriously and with gratitude that we're so fortunate we got this opportunity to go back to the Golok and be with Krishna again, engage in his service once again. So that is mercy, that is luck, that is good fortune, which is given by the combination of Krishna and his pure devotees. So we're given access to that. Now it's up to us to become sincere and desirous of actually attaining that for in a pure way, without any expectation of what I will, you know, for my own benefit. This is the aspirations that we perform in the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in. So the demigods are emphasizing this Krishna and the Acharya and Srila Prabhupada is elaborating for us what they're actually talking about. The demigods know that they know a lot, but they're telling how to go back to Krishna. They've essentially explained that he's the actual supreme personality of Godhead, and how to get back to him in the material world, except the boat which the previous acharyas have crossed the ocean, the process by which they've got, and take that. The boat is still here and available for us. So the demigods of worship, glorifying Krishna and glorifying the acharyas also. So these are the, this is the, bring out the essence of the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, bringing out the bhakti aspect, how to become the pure unalloyed devotee of Krishna and go back to Godhead again. Jaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Oh, Premanandi, Hari Hari Mahal. Question, comment? Yes, Madhini.
You just said about the subtle body which dissolves as we progress in bhakti. Does it completely shed before we cross the Viraja River, or
before we cross
the Viraja River, the river we cross before entering the subtle spiritual sky?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
The subtle body, does it dissolve before we cross the Viraja River, or during the lifetime it is dissolved as we progress in bhakti?
What is after, you're saying? Huh?
Viraja River, the river we cross before entering the spiritual sky.
Before we enter the spiritual world.
Yeah, there is a river which we cross.
Yeah. Viraja.
Yeah. So the subtle body, does it dissolve during our lifetime or just before crossing the river?
No, this is the river, the reference is the material world, the ocean. That's talking about material world. All the clashes of the fierceness of this material world, birth, old age, disease, that, all these, that's what the is referring to here. How to cross over this cycle of birth and death, how to be not born again. So this is a direct process. You go directly back to Godhead by this process. By bhakti you go directly back. You don't have to except you take one more birth in Bhoma Vrindavan where Krishna's appearing. But otherwise The other process, they'll take you back gradually through the different planetary systems. But bhakti will take you directly back. So, but here, the ocean is, we're talking about the material world. Did that answer the question?
Hmm. Okay, good.
No, it can happen in this body. They call it Jivan Mukta. Can happen in this lifetime. It's very rare. We don't see it much. It's one of the characteristics of pure unalloyed devotional service, that it's very rarely achieved. But what we see is the acharyas, but they're generally associates of the Lord. Our acharyas, they're different manjaris, etc., who have come as Goswamis. They're acting on the different platforms, at least initially on the Madhyam platform, and they're teaching us the process of the devotional service, how to dissolve your subtle body, how to dissolve the false ego. So here or there, you can have it both, but it's not usually for the final thing. You generally have to wait till you leave your body. Then it's really confirmed. And there's also traces, even little traces that go back to, you know, even when you're as long as you're in the material world, there's traces. Even if you take birth, your next birth, in the family of gopas and gopis in Vrindavan, where Krishna's appearing. And you hear Krishna playing his flute. And you want to go, and you can't go. Something there. Still something there. So, then that gets purified again there, because you can't, that purifies, that not being checked by their husbands or their family members, they weren't able to go to Krishna, so that purified them of any the pain they felt of not being able to go to see Krishna, to service, give Krishna pleasure, was so intense that they thought there's no suffering, there's no pain in the material world compared with this. So they finished the material world. There's material world is nothing. And that brought up any traces of idea of protecting yourself, or there's some shelter in the material world for me. If there were any traces of that still there, that was burnt up by that. And then Krishna appeared before them in their room and embraced them. And then the happiness they felt was so fantastic that there's no happiness in the material world. So that destroyed any idea of enjoying in the material world. In other words, the material world, the material experience became insignificant compared with that experience, as the two extremes of that experience with Krishna and separated from Krishna. So then that purified them. So then the next time, they was allowed to go to the dance. So even that far, there's still some traces. And even then, when they got to the Rasa dance, right, then Radharani left. Some of these gopis, they're a little proud. Then she left. So then Krishna left. Radha's not there. There's no Rasa dance. He left. Then all the gopis were up. Then they found Radharani, see her condition, and then they became purified of that pride when they saw the Radha's devotion, then they felt a little bad, and then that purified them of their pride of being special. Krishna's only dancing with me, not the others kind of thing. So even there, so you take birth as a gopi, you attend the rasa dance with Krishna in Bhumi Vrindavan, still there was something there. So it's not until you really get to the, in your next birth in Golok, then all those things are gone. But you can become satisfied and happy in this life by surrendering to Krishna. Okay. Gopāda ki. Hare Krishna.